Oh, here we go. Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am finally your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty podcast. Tonight on the pod, we will conduct a two-round rookie mock draft with some bonus picks. So let's introduce the panel who will be helping us draft. First up, back after his exclusive three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. It's a Blues Brothers joke. It's Jameson Hutchinson. How you doing, Jameson?
Doing good. Back from excursion with the all-star lineup, ready to get sniped and get mad about it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I hope they do piss you off tonight. Of course, we have Joseph Harlow, my co-host among the luminaries. How you doing, Joe?
Doing swell in my new home in the great state of Wyoming. So,
welcome home, brother. Here. Very nice. Thank
you. How are you, JJ?
Oh, perfect. Couldn't be better because we have a great group of mock drafters with us today. First up, we have Johnny Cristofi from IDP Plus. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm blessed to be on, man. Good to be back. Welcome aboard. Strap in.
All right, my friend and former co-host of the Rod Pod, Dave Heilman. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, sir.
Good to see you. And straight from the Viper's Den, our Manada from Canada, Matt Donnelly.
I am doing just swell. How much for the girl? How much for the girl?
A little bit more Blues Brothers there for you.
I appreciate that. And last, but certainly not least, our Alice in the center square. The man who is trying to take Gary Davenport's throne by working for everyone everywhere. Nate Paulvogt, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I've been a little quiet the last like month and a half, 2 months. So it's kind of nice to get back in the role of podcast. It is that time of year. These mock drafts are really important. We've got a lot of people out there who are drafting in their rookie drafts right now in Dynasty. So hopefully this is some help to get a grip a little bit on what the ADP is looking like. And we can maybe help you win that draft.
Which is why we are here. Now, I've assembled quite a crew to get ready for this draft. But you don't need all of that. All you need is to order the IDP Plus Rookie Guide. That's right. Our comprehensive 2024 IDP Plus Rookie Guide is here. Get the Rookie Draft Guide for a limited time only for only $9.99. The latest version includes all of the post-draft feedback you need to dominate your drafts. So check out the link in the show description and download your copy today. All right, gentlemen, before we begin, we will be completing a two-round rookie mock. This will be a 1QB PPR, no tight end premium. Pretty simple. Our draft order is going to be Johnny with the first pick, followed by Dave, then Nate, followed by Matt, Jameson, and Joe. So with the first pick, here's Johnny.
Well, thanks for making it easy on me. This is a one quarterback, no super flex, so I don't have a tough decision on my hand. I think I'm just going to play the safest way here and go the best player on the board, littlest risk, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's going to strap in and settle quite well in Arizona. I think there's some other wide receivers that have some bigger questions around them regarding hesitation with me. So, like I said, not a super flex. It's an easy decision, and it's Marvin Harrison at number one.
All right, Marvin Harrison goes to Johnny. Next up, we have Dave.
Yeah, and so I'm going to go with Malik Nabers here. Some people had him as the pre-draft wide receiver one. Maybe some hesitation after the Giants landing spot, but this guy's 20, about to be 21 years old. Daniel Jones probably not going to be his quarterback for his entire career. And he's an excellent, excellent receiver. One of the things that's going to be good for fantasy football, it's not one of these, you know, Quentin Johnston types where he's just an athlete, needs to learn how to be a receiver. He is a pure receiver. He is an alpha receiver. He's good at man coverage, at digs and slants, 87.5 and 82.8% to where he's winning his routes, reception, perception. And this guy is really hard to bring down. Only brought down on first contact 48% of the time. So he's breaking a lot of tackles, and on 20% of those time, he was breaking multiple tackles. So he's just creating a lot of stuff. And Garrett Wilson type of player where he can overcome some bad quarterback play.
All right, Malik Nabers to number two. Nate, where are we going with the third pick? You're on mute, buddy.
We've got to keep this run of wide receivers going, right? And Romo Dunze, you love the situation. He's stepping into an offense with Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore with an opportunity to be the feature piece sooner rather than later, but he doesn't have to be that guy out of the gate. That's what Keenan Allen is for. That's what DJ Moore is for. But outside of that, if you look at the target competition, you've got Cole Kmet, maybe a little DeAndre Swift, maybe a little bit of Khalil Herbert. But outside of that, he has an opportunity to be the wide receiver two in this offense if he takes off and he gels with Caleb Williams, which I expect him to. I would honestly right now, I'd take a Dunze over Nabers just because of the situation. I prefer the situation. I don't like what's going on in New York. We should know who the quarterback is, and we don't. That concerns me. Their front office concerns me. And those uniforms they unveiled today, my God. My eyes started bleeding for a minute. They're so bad. Any organization that does that, I have a hard time trusting. So for me, it's Odunze.
Well, not only did the fashion take, but a great pick at number three with Roma Dunze. Matt, where are you going at number four?
Well, if I don't know if you can hear this right now, but I got a bunch of banging going on upstairs. Kids running around, eating my turkey, which I could be doing right now as well. Which I found it's kind of like not appropriate to do on air, especially with the mustache, because half the turkey would still be in the mustache as we're doing the draft. But I like a good banger here, and I'm going to go to the running back position because I could go with a tight end because it's super sexy. Keep this pass catcher thing going. But I really like Jonathan Brooks here. He proved that he can catch the ball out of the backfield, which is something that David Canales really enjoys in his running backs. Canales turned Rashad White into a top five fantasy running back in PPR formats. What's to get us to think that he can't do that in Carolina with Jonathan Brooks? We know what they want to do in Carolina. They want to give Bryce Young every opportunity to be successful. They invested a lot in this young guy, especially after watching guys like CJ Stroud go out there and ball out. They need to surround Young with good playmakers. And we also know that Jonathan Brooks is a very good pass catcher who has a very good yards per route run. Before his injury, he had like 1,100 yards in 10 games. So you know he can run the rock. There's no commitment to Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. I mean, this is the guy. If you're looking for an RB1 of this draft class, and I like another running back, but it's Jonathan Brooks. Opportunity is going to be there. He's just the 15th second round running back to go inside the top 50. That's at 33 to 50 range since 2013. Among the 14 previous second round picks in the top 50, 9 have gone on to finish as top 20 scorers in fantasy points per game as a rookie. And believe it or not, only Ronald Jones and Derrick Henry kind of failed to hit that as top 35 running backs in their rookie seasons.
All right, Jonathan Brooks with a hearty endorsement from Matt Donnelly. Jameson, where are you going with pick number 5?
Well, we get into the goofy part of the draft where it can go multiple different ways. I don't want to do Brock Bowers here. I'm going to go with Brian Thomas, I think, here. Zay Jones is gone. Calvin Ridley's gone. A lot of vacated targets. I think this is what Trevor Lawrence needed last year. And I know they brought in Gabe Davis, but I just don't think he's going to do a whole lot for him. So I think Brian Thomas here, first-round pick, I think he's going to hopefully take the Jaguars to what the offense should have been last week when it fell off halfway through the year.
All right. We have Brian Thomas at 5. Up next is Joe.
Yes, so I was hoping my decision would get made a little easier there, but it was not, so thanks, Jameson. But
anytime.
I'm also going to pass on Brock Bowers here, despite he's the best player overall on the board, I think, but not necessarily for fantasy. So I'm going to go, really the differentiator is the quarterback play. So I'm going to go with guy who has one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, in Ladd McConkey, now with the Chargers. Has great quarterback, Justin Herbert, the top receiver, any without really a close second. It's a little aggressive of a pick here, but Chargers did move up for him. And there's a lot of fear out there that the Chargers are just going to run 55 times a game. That's not really what it looks like. That's not how fully the truth of how Jim Harbaugh and even Greg Roman have run their teams. You look even with Colin Kaepernick, they were still throwing at a league just below league average rate. So that's with a quarterback who really struggled with accuracy. Now with an elite one. Even at Stanford, you look how often they threw with Andrew Luck when they needed to. It's going to be a team that, with the defense struggling a bit, they will need to throw the ball more. McConkey's going to have a lot of target share. I don't know if he'll ever be a true wide receiver one, but this is a safe floor, someone who, as long as he's healthy, can really blow up and be a legit wide receiver two for a long time.
Very good. Ladd McConkey at six. Johnny, you are back up with pick number seven.
You know what? I just have a feeling about this guy. I'm going to endorse him. It might be a little bit of a reach here, but I'm taking Keon Coleman, man. I really like what the situation he fell into in Buffalo. I just think they have a top two or three quarterback, you could say at worst, in Josh Allen. There's a lot of targets there. I know they signed a lot of guys. And while we're on the topic of Buffalo, I'm interested to see how Quintez Cephas does back. He was a guy in Detroit not too long ago, and he just got re-signed there. So, maybe there's hesitation, like, oh, they have so many guys. The Khalil Shakir showed out a little bit last year. I'm not really worried about it. I think that's smoke and mirrors. I think Keon Coleman's going to be the guy here. And the number one wide receiver in Buffalo offense is pretty tantalizing. So I'm going to go with a high upside here. Maybe not the most household name in the first round, but I did a draft where I got him with a super flex pretty late, like mid second round, and I thought it was a steal. So I'm going to put eggs in his basket, and I'm banking on him. I think whether it be week one or week five, he's going to hit. So I think this is tremendous dynasty, tremendous redraft, everything about Keon Coleman I love. And he seems to be a great personality in that locker room. I saw like a couple interviews with him, quirky guy. I just think that's where, you know, all the pieces are clicking, and I expect that to carry over into the OTAs.
Very good. Keon Coleman at seven. Dave, you are up next.
Well, he keeps sliding down the board. I'm going to stop it. Brock Bowers has been punished enough. Positional value. We don't know. Like, we look every year, we're like, man, maybe we actually have enough tight ends. And then we get to the season and we're like, there was some resurgence of some younger guys, Trey McBride, Dalton Kincaid, but Kelsey's getting older. Hockenson just had a major injury. Njoku was great with Flacco. He has not done anything with Watson. So we don't know what we're going to get out of him. This is it's a premier position. So it's going to offer me, I look at these like assets. Bowers is going to be a very good asset to carry to my team. If I need him, I use him. If not, I can trade him. And yeah, I may have to wait a little bit for some production, whether it's Minshew or O'Connell. I'm at quarterback, but it's a premier player, and getting him at the 108 spot is pretty nice.
All right, Brock Bowers stops his fall at pick number eight. Nate, you are up next. You're on mute, buddy.
That's great. I had it unmuted and I muted it. You see Caleb Williams sitting here, right? And it just feels like, well, okay, he's falling to 109. You've got to take Caleb Williams here. However, it's one quarterback. I'm not going to take him. I like Xavier Worthy in Kansas City. And I think getting him this late in a rookie draft, especially a PPR 1QB, is kind of a steal. He should have gone ahead of McConkey. He should have gone ahead of Coleman, and he should have gone ahead of Brian Thomas, in my opinion. His ceiling is so high that I am willing to take a risk on him, even with the top six, even top five pick, depending on who we see go off the board ahead of me. Ceiling is Tyreek Hill all over again, right? And we all agree on that. He's got that skill set. Does he have that dog mentality? We're going to have to see. But if he does, this is a scary player and a scary offense. So number nine, Xavier Worthy, he's sitting there. I'm taking him every time.
All right. Nate goes with Harrison Butker's teammate, Xavier Worthy.
Well, when you put it that way.
A little topical conversation. At number 10, Matt, where are you going?
You know what? If you're going to just leave me with all the running backs, I want to keep going down the route of the running backs. Maybe it's my age. Maybe I'm showing, the rings around here a little bit. But I'm going to go with Trey Benson, because if you want a running back who's set up for future success, it is going to be Trey Benson. He's everything the Arizona Cardinals have in James Conner, except healthy and a lot younger. And look at what James Conner has done in the last few seasons. Like, they literally got themselves the running back here who can be a third down back, catch the ball out of the backfield, explosive as anybody. They've also got a guy who's not afraid to run between the tackles. But one thing I really, really like, if I look at what James Conner's done, because we're looking dynasty here, we're looking big picture. Look at James Conner's success in 3 years in Arizona. He has totaled 2,574 rushing yards, 840 receiving yards, 35 touchdowns. That's 35 tutties. I haven't even touched 35 times in the last couple hours. Like, it's insane to think of what the potential is here for Trey Benson. Here's the kicker. Yep. James Conner did that all while missing 10 games over the last three seasons. So if Conner were to miss time, get hurt, retire, move on, Trey Benson is in line for top 12 running back numbers. And that's what I'm looking at here. I'm looking at potential. I don't think the risk is as great here as there are with some other players. Sure, quarterbacks could be an option here, back end of the draft where the rich get richer here and load up at that position. Xavier Worthy, these fast guys scare me, man. I mean, typically anyone we've seen go fast, Rashee Rice and a few others, it hasn't ended well, right? I mean, and that's kind of a big concern when I'm talking about like Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman. The dude has to wear like a parka in the summer. You see the big yellow jacket. What's he going to do when it gets to like Buffalo temperature, man? That's a different thing. The cold weather, Florida State boy, cold weather Buffalo. It is not going to be a good thing. So, I mean, hey, there's some good things to pull off here, but Trey Benson is in a prime position, baby.
All right. Trey Benson going at number 10. Jameson, you are up next with pick 11.
Well, I brought up at the beginning, I was thinking about getting sniped, and sure enough, Trey Benson was the guy I was going to attack here, so it's only fitting, but I'll break the mold here with the quarterbacks and just go Caleb Williams. I don't think any quarterback coming in as a rookie has been set up quite as well as he has. He's got Keenan Allen, who last year, before he got hurt, still produced. DJ Moore, who really is one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league, and then, of course, rookie Rome Odunze. So also brought in DeAndre Swift, has a new offensive coordinator. I think sky's the limit in Chicago, and I think it sets up really well for Caleb Williams in his rookie year.
All right, first QB goes off the board to Jameson at number 11. Closing out the first round, we have Joe Harlow.
Here, I'm going to go a little bit of a homer, and I'm going to take the rookie for the Colts, the true number one receiver from Texas, Adonai Mitchell, player who has the potential to be a legitimate X receiver in the NFL. Skill set is... complete skill set, though is a little raw, has some potential character concerns, which some teams shared, some didn't. If you saw, Chris Ballard got very fired up about it, despite not taking him in the first round and actually trading back in the second round to get him. So we'll see what really is up there. But one of the big things with Mitchell is that, or one of the big concerns with him is that if he had gone to a team where he needed to be the guy, like to a Carolina, where there was some smoke, that would have been bad for his development. He needs a little bit of time to really adjust the NFL game, to really kind of get his butt in gear, more or less. Texas was a super collegey offense, really gross to watch, really gross quarterback play, which we'll get to for 2025 potentially, but not for now. So he really does need to learn a real offense, and having Michael Pittman Jr. there and a steady Josh Downs there. Yes. That will really take a lot off of him. It really is a spot where he can blow up, especially growing with Anthony Richardson, who can spray some passes, but Mitchell is the type of player who has great body control, runs really good routes, despite getting some flack for that, which again, I attribute more to the offense than to him per se. And then, yeah, there's not much after the catch, but big time threat down the field, over the middle, runs legit X routes and can be 150 target guy in the next three seasons, probably, if he hits the ceiling.
All right. So we close out the first round with Adonai Mitchell going to Joe. Now, gentlemen, just to recap the first round, we had the first four picks, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, followed by Jonathan Brooks. Next four went Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, and Brock Bowers. Final four were Xavier Worthy, Trey Benson, Caleb Williams, and Adonai Mitchell. Matt, looking at that first round, what pick surprised you the most?
I mean, everything kind of played out the way that I've seen in a lot of the drafts I've got. I mean, maybe Bowers slipping down a little bit
outside that top four when we're talking about non-PPR, one QB leagues, maybe Bauer should normally be up there in that five range. I mean, we watched the slip. We all kind of acknowledged it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pass. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pass. I think the Raiders landing spot really kind of did him in more than anything, because I know Nate wasn't touching him there at all. He may have let his fandom kind of get to him a little bit. But, I mean, realistically, I don't see Bowers being a tight end very often. I mean, who is a tight end anymore anyway? The ones that are producing in fantasy typically line up in the slot. I see the Raiders using him in the slot a lot more this season. Kind of yeah. Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams. They got Zamir. So they got a good offense. They struggled last season, which I think is what scares a lot of people, how poor that offense played out last season. So that's going to be one of the holding points here. What is Gardner Minshew going to do? Is it going to be Aiden O'Connell? So I think a lot of fear is Bowers at landing spot. But I can see as we get closer and closer to the draft, we start talking about OTAs and all the hype. Maybe he shows some of his thighs off a little bit, because you know how we all love a guy in his thighs when it comes to fantasy football. We usually bump him right back up the board. So I wouldn't be surprised if he climbs back up into that 4, 5, 6 range in one QB leagues.
Dave, any picks surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, the running backs, and it surprised me in a way that, like, I think this is more of what your actual drafts, like, a lot of times in mock drafts and in rankings, the running backs are a lot further down the board, but, like, people are thirsty for running backs in Dynasty, and they're going to go earlier, and you know, I thought about Jonathan Brooks at my pick there in the second time, and he wasn't around, and I was like, well, maybe I'm going to go Trey Benson, but then Bowers, you know, fell. And exactly what Matt said with both of those. I mean, you're going to get instant production from Brooks, and you could see, you know, Benson could take over. You know, what if Connor gets traded in the middle of the season? You know, the Cowboys could use a running back. You know, Benson is obviously, you know, in line to start probably next year. He got very good draft capital, and he's one of those running backs that he stays on the field. He can catch the ball. One of the highest graded rushers, highest graded receiving backs. And he's a decent pass blocker, which is extremely important for rookies. So he's got good size on top of everything. So, you know, with it being such a tough running back class, I think you're going to see those guys pushed up boards in your real drafts. And so I think that was realistic. And, yeah, other than that, I mean, it's kind of – there's a clump of receivers that are still on the board and some that have gone, that it's just, you know, pick your flavor, really.
Yeah, Dave, you know, to prepare people for their real drafts, that's why it's mock draft time on the Rod Pod. But more importantly, it's really draft season, folks. And there's nothing better than a live draft. Literally, nothing is better than a live draft. So get ahead of the game right now with Trophy Smacks, gorgeous draft boards, complete with player stickers. So deep. No, can't quote Cube there. So deep, you couldn't possibly need them all. And for the first time, Trophy Smack has an IDP expansion pack for all of us defensive nerds. So no more scribbling names on blank stickers. Go to Trophy Smack and get the only draft board that meets all of your needs. Check out the link in the show notes and get yours today. Johnny, it is time to kick off the second round. Where are you going with pick 13?
So with this pick here, I'm glad I thought both quarterbacks and both running backs were going to go off the board. Matt, you did a nice job hoarding the running backs there. You'll have some trade bait coming your way from me. But for me, I'm going to go with the other top quarterback, and I think it's Jaden Daniels. And I just think that the potential-wise, you know, a lot of people think that this is maybe a CJ Stroud. Well, I think that's a lot to live up to, and, you know, maybe not so quite literal. That's the points he's going to accumulate. But I do think there is that kind of potential. You know, you have a lot of good receivers. The only hesitation I had is if you rewind this to a year ago, I was saying the same exact thing about Sam Howell. I really like Sam Howell there. I thought he was going to mobile too. Like maybe he was going to get a couple years leash, man, 1 year, they did him dirty. You know, in my opinion, I thought he should have been there still. So, you know, I think they have a good offense there. They added some pieces. They have Eckler now, you know, some guys are in, some guys are out, but I think they came out on top, you know, better than they were last year. New coaching there too. So things shook up in Washington. And I do think Jaden Daniels is at least going to hold his own. And if he can do that and grow in year 2, 3, I think he's a great dynasty quarterback. So, you know, and the potential is sky high for him. So I think he's a safe landing spot here. And I don't know how my quarterbacks are looking to this point. This is just a mock, but we're gonna show them up. So Jaden Daniels, I think, is can't miss here.
All right. So Jaden Daniels, our second QB, goes off the board at pick 13. Dave, you are up next.
Yeah, and you know, for me, when you're putting your formula together to rank your players, it's extremely important for draft capital. I know that landing spot is something that, like, you know, we want that instant, you know, success, but you know, first, second round, third round draft capital is extremely important, and it gets some early opportunities on the field, and it shows how much the team or the league really believes in this player. And I think this was the shock of the first round after Michael Penix, of course. Ricky Pearsall went in the first round. This guy is, you know, you look at him and you're okay, white guy is going to be a slot guy. He played in the slot, but he also was used on jet sweeps, used on bubble screens. He played outside. He's a man beater. He's a route runner. One thing that the San Francisco 49ers really, really struggled with is they have a bunch of playmakers that do a really nice job when Kyle Shanahan draws it up. But when people played man coverage, the Browns and the Chiefs, when they manned up on them, Deebo Samuel cannot beat man coverage. Brandon Ayuk can, but they were running a lot of doubles and things like that to really eliminate him. They needed a route runner. They went and got Ricky Pearsall. And yes, I may have to stick him on the taxi squad for this year. He may not do too much for me this year. But I think Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel is out of town next year. Pearsall gets a much larger role. And then, you know, when Christian McCaffrey gets out of town, which is not too much longer, this guy's he's in there for the long haul. He's at least going to be there for 5 years. So Ricky Pearsall with the 202.
All right, Ricky Pearsall. Nate, you are up next.
Yeah, I love that Pearsall pick, I have to say, Dave. He was of the receivers that I loved that we saw in Mobile, the Senior Bowl this year, JJ. I think my two favorite, honestly, were Pearsall and then the guy I'm going to take here who we call them the Yak King, Xavier Leggett. Guy is an absolute freaking stud. Here's what I love about him, though. Carolina, not the best landing spot for a wide receiver with all the criticism we've given Bryce Young in that offense, right? So it doesn't make sense to be excited about Leggett, except for a guy who's had issues with accuracy in his rookie season, you bring in a guy with a massive catch radius who wins catches on size. He's going to win short, medium, and deep in this offense. His ceiling is probably his rookie season. I'd say he could be a back-end wide receiver too. I don't see him getting a ton more volume in that offense given what it is right now. But getting into tier two, year three, year four, this is a guy who could eke his way into wide receiver one territory in this Canales offense. And I think people are sleeping on him. If you're playing Dynasty and you're looking at this guy's likely outcome in this offense, he should be at the back end of the first round. I think he's that type of talent.
Yeah, I was able to get him in a super flex draft that Dave and I were in at 2-5. So I was pretty happy with that. But yeah, he is dropping. All right, Leggett.
To add something on Leggett, I've seen him. Yeah. I got him. He's someone I wasn't super high on in the process, but I got him in the third round in a couple super flex drafts. And I was like, I don't love the player, but the talent is clearly there. And that's absurd.
That's absurd.
Absurd for a first round receiver to fall that far.
Yeah, I would definitely. Wow. That is absurd. I have nothing better to say to that. Matt, you're up.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep the running, the wide receiver thing going. I bet you thought I was going running back there for a second.
I'm
going to keep the wide receiver string going here. And I'm going to, you want to talk potential. You kind of talk about Ricky Pearsall. Very disappointed you didn't bust out. Hey, Ricky, you so fine. You so fine. You blow my mind, Ricky. I'm really disappointed, Dad. You didn't pull that out. I mean, there was such an opportunity there. You mentioned with the possibility Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, some of them, one of them could be gone, right? Which makes Ricky Pearsall more attractive. Well, they got the same thing going on there in Cincinnati with one T. Higgins. And we know that there's a lot of money going to be tied up Jamar Chase and with Joe Burrow. They've got their replacement right there in Jermaine Burton. The dude is an absolute deep ball threat. If it wasn't for some red flags, some off-field transgressions, some other little things here and there, I think he would have got a lot higher in the draft. And despite all those red flags, the NFL says, if you can play football, we're still going to employ you, whether or not these red flags are bad or not. And they told us everything we need to know by taking him
in the third round of the draft. So he's got that day two draft capital, despite all these red flags, but he's going to have opportunity. T. Higgins is not going to be there much beyond this season. Who knows what's going to happen in that situation? But when you look at what Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense could do, Jermaine Burton's that guy that could stretch things out. You look at the NCAA wide receiver leaders by career yards per deep target. That's those plus 40 targets down the field. Only Jamar Chase and Marquise Hollywood Brown had a greater number than Jermaine Burton. That's how good he is on those deep balls. You have a deep ball guy there with Jamar Chase. Teams are going to pay attention to Jamar Chase. That's going to open things up for Burton. So I'm looking big picture here. Maybe the payoff not being here in 2024, but 2025, Burton's that guy who could be one of the top three or four wide receivers from this draft class, and we're getting him here in the second round, pick with 204. Yeah, I'll take that value all day.
All right, we went with the steal, Jermaine Burton at pick 16 overall. Jameson, you're up next.
I heard running back come out of Matt's mouth, and I was about to walk off, so I'm glad that
Came to mind. It was there.
Two of my favorite wide receivers outside the top ones went with Leggett and Burton, but I'm going to go get one of my favorite running backs in Marshawn Lloyd. I think he's going to produce right out of the gate. LaFleur was a guy who's always going to run two running backs, excuse me. So they bring in Josh Jacobs. We watched A.J. Dillon last year do a whole lot of nothing. I think Marshawn Lloyd has got a little bit of juice. I think he's got a little sauce to him. He can catch some balls out of the backfield as well. I just think he's a big play waiting to happen. And I would not be surprised, say, first 6 weeks if Jonathan Brooks is still coming off the ACL. If Marshawn Lloyd was leading all the rookies, you know, running backs and, you know, yards and stuff, that would not be a surprise to me. I think he will produce right out of the gate. And I really like the value here.
All right. Marshawn Lloyd goes to Jameson. Joe.
There's a good value with Lloyd there. Really, last few picks, really like those a lot. I'm going to go with the player who was my quarterback one going into this process. Fell to third in the draft. JJ already knows it's on brand for me, but Patriots Drake May. The dude gets crushed for a lot of silly things that people aren't really watching the film with. A lot of footwork things, sure, but horrible offensive line. He was the entire team. He was doing legit NFL reads and calling plays and adjusting protections at the line of scrimmage, which Patrick Mahomes wasn't doing until his third year in the NFL. So mentally, he's there. The arm talent is obvious, and it's legit translations to the NFL, over the middle, deep. Is he a little too aggressive? Yes, but you'd rather see an aggressive quarterback rather and have to tone him back a little bit than the opposite. So going to go here with top quarterback. He also has a lot of rushing ability. He ran for, I think, 15 touchdowns over the last 2 years, something in that range. If you take sacks away, he had almost 1,000 rushing yards over the past two seasons. He's a legit threat there. Good athlete, great aggressiveness. And the Patriots, not an ideal landing spot for him, but if nothing else, the receivers they did take later and the offensive linemen they have built around him, they at least know what Drake May is. They got players who, even if they're not elite, I'm not going to spoil any names there. You might see some in a bit, but they work very well with this quarterback. They're what he needs, building a good infrastructure, at least this logical one.
Now, I'm not really big into Drake May, but what was his beef with Kendrick Lamar last week? Is that the same? That was a different.
I thought it was Drake Bell.
Oh, my bad. All right. Up next is Johnny.
So if you fellas didn't know, I'm from Pittsburgh and I'm going to pay homage with this pick. I'm going to go Roman Wilson. You know why? It's because two reasons. I think he's going to hit the ground running and he's a great dynasty target. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't do a lot of rinsing and repeating. I think this guy's here to stay. You know, maybe you could say Chase Claypool was one of those guys, but I think this is different. You know, you have an offense where you lose your incumbent quarterback. You get a better quarterback with Russell Wilson. I think the Steelers are going to run up a little bit their game plan and start throwing more. You know, as they were always a run first team, I think they still will be. But I think having Russell Wilson is going to help them throw the ball. They lose Deontay Johnson, which is huge for the Steelers. Who's going to replace that role? Well, they have if it's not Roman Wilson, it's going to be Calvin Ridley. Calvin Austin. It's going to be Van Jefferson or Scotty Miller. These are just guys. So I think that Roman Wilson's going to be a man amongst those guys. He's going to be immediately the number two receiver there. And yeah, if you're looking for somebody, this is going to be a name we're talking about in redraft as well. He's going to hit the ground running, like I had said previously. And I think it's a great dynasty play. I think he's there for the long haul, and I'm excited. You know, George Pickens is unquestionably their number one receiver, but George Pickens is, you know, as much as we talk about, he's great yards per catch. He only had 63 receptions last year, the whole season. He played every game. So I'm not saying he's not a number one target. He is. He's going to get his, but he's not like a 10-12 target type of guy. And if it's not, you know, him, then it's going to be Pat Freiermuth. So I think that's all three of them are a really nice trio. And I think Roman Wilson provides some nice value here late.
All right, Roman Wilson to Johnny at pick 19. Dave, you are up next.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good pick. That's sniping me there. I had Wilson. It was either him or pretty Ricky Pearsall with my last pick, and I decided to go with Pearsall and play the ADP game. Lost a little bit. You know, here, this is the kind of the type of the draft where it's tough. You know, this you're looking at day three picks at this point. There's a couple day ones on the board, but it really depends. And I'm going to go with a guy that he did fall in the draft, and he's fallen down rookie drafts, but I still think he's a value. I like the landing spot. He pairs up with his college quarterback. He is an absolute playmaker, and it's Troy Franklin. Don't ask him to run a gauntlet drill. He's not too good at that, but he's pretty damn good at football, and we saw it last year. The Pac-12 was very good. You saw how represented they were in this draft, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defense. And this guy can get open. And he goes to a situation. They just got rid of Jerry Jeudy. Tim Patrick's coming off of back-to-back season-ending injuries. The team seems like they want to get rid of Cortland Sutton at some point. He could be in line for some very, very good targets here soon. And he's already got a leg up on Marvin Mims because him and Bo Nix are boys. So I'm going to go with Troy Franklin here.
All right, Troy Franklin. Up next is Nate at pick 21.
Well, guys, I loved the Drake May discussion here, and seeing him come off the board in the second round in one QB, I agree with that value for Drake May. Now, I know what we've seen out of the Patriots the last few years, right? A middling offense that really just can't get anything going. They have no real identity. But Bill Belichick's gone. We've got Jared Mayon. We've heard this team and these players talking about this energy is different. This team is different. It feels different to come to work every day. This team is different. Jared Mayo is getting them excited to play. He's getting them ready to play. And I think Jalen Polk is going to be a lot more valuable down the line here in Dynasty than people are thinking. I could see him as a guy when we look back saying, ah, man, oh, he should have been a first round rookie draft pick. Might be 2 years from now that we're saying this, but this is a different New England team. Mayo has to come in here, and for this fan base who is used to winning, he's got to change things. He's got to bring in some excitement. He's got to change this offense. They don't want to see these run heavy games, these run heavy schemes. They want to see the ball in the air. That's why they brought in Drake May, and it's why they got Jalen Polk. So I'm taking him here at 9. I think he should have gone a little bit earlier, but guys, thank you for letting him fall to me. That's fantastic. And I'm interested to see who these last three picks are now.
I love that pick, Nate. I was debating on him or May. Polk was one of my favorites all throughout the process.
Yeah, same. I really like him.
All right. So Jalen Polk at 21. Matt, you are up next at 22.
Yeah, so I feel like I should be trading back here. There's absolutely no one that I'm in love with at this point. Maybe I'm trading for a 2025 second round pick or whatever I can get here. I don't love anybody. I could go JJ McCarthy here, grab that other quarterback off the board, which is probably, if I had to do it, I probably would. But you know what? I wouldn't be on brand if I didn't go with this pick. And I'm going with a wide receiver who is everything that Roma Dunze people want Roma Dunze to be, but he was Roma Dunze before Roma Dunze was a Roma Dunze, right? I'm going to go with the other Washington wide receiver. I don't care if this is too early to draft him. He's my guy, and I got to put some respect on Jalen McMillan's name here because he is that guy. And we are a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately type of society. McMillan
hurt last season, missed a bunch of time, but you cannot ignore the 2.3 yards per route run the last two seasons, the 5.6 yards after catch for his career, the 9.43 RAS score. Everything gets me excited, and we're not giving him the respect because he was hurt. He was doing very similar things to what Jalen Polk was doing, very similar things to what Rome Odunze was doing. Now, is Odunze better? Yeah, probably. I mean, that's why he was taken in the first round, but people were not giving McMillan his respect. He went in the third round to Tampa Bay, who has a guy named Mike Evans, who may or may not be there for the length of his contract, right? He's getting a little bit older there. McMillan is a big slot wide receiver. Let's call it the way it is. He's not going to be the X. He's not going to go out to the boundary. He's not going to be that guy. That's not who he's going to be. But if you look at these other guys left here on the board, I don't love any of them. Could I make a case for some guys to be over top of them? Yeah, I can make a case. But I like McMillan. He's my guy. And at this point in the draft, if I can't trade back, I'm going to get my guy. I'm going to live or die. I'm going to ride with my guy. And that's Jalen McMillan.
Well, that's, we're all about riding with our guys, ride or die. Jameson, you are up next at pick 23.
Well, it gets a little goofy because I took quarterback in the first round. I feel like wide receiver is really going to dry up if it hasn't already. So I'm going to go with the guy who I think will benefit most with Drake May, and that's Javon Baker out of UCF, former Alabama player. I think the second and third level is where he plays his best game, and I think that's something that Drake May is really good at. You didn't see it a whole lot last year just because the offensive line was putrid, but they had Tez Walker, who just signed with Baltimore, and he was at that type of player for him. I think Javon Baker is a better player overall, and I think he can benefit, especially with this wide receiver group. It's, you know, Baker, it's Jalen Polk that they just drafted, but also Juju Smith-Schuster, DeMario Douglas, KJ Osborne, Kendrick Bourne. I mean, nothing sexy. I think if anybody can break through, it'd be Javon Baker.
I know my all-out blitz co-host Doug Orth loves Javon Baker, and he loves his opportunity to become the wide receiver one in New England. To finish off our draft, Joe, who are you going with pick 24?
Well, Jameson, you didn't make my decision easy for my first pick, but you did this time. So thank you for writing me this time. I'm going to go with the Dolphins' next running back, Jalen Wright, formerly of Tennessee. Another just big, fast guy, just explosive as all hell. And, well, of course, Miami took him. Don't love that they traded a future third, and I think a little bit on top of it for him, but that's not the point here. He is a bigger version of a Devon, not version, he's a bigger player than Devon Achane, and he's shown a lot more durability. Achane was awesome in the two or three full games he played, but how much is he actually going to play? He's a small player, and even with when Raheem Mostert is gone, probably after the season, show that the Dolphins show they want to utilize two backs and that they can do so effectively. Wright is a massive upside shot, and with pick 24, I will take that upside at a running back who also has some pass pro ability, or at least willingness, and some pass catching ability. Someone who can stay on the field and will potentially have some big plays. Has some issues, but again, here, all upside.
All right, so to recap our second round, we started off with Johnny taking Jaden Daniels, followed by Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, and Jermaine Burton, followed up by running back Marshawn Lloyd, Drake May, Roman Wilson, and Troy Franklin, finishing up with Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, Javon Baker, and Jalen Wright. That's a lot of J's all in a row to finish out that draft. Gentlemen, what about the best of the rest? I want to know, who are the sleepers who are still sitting out there? I'm going to get rid of that draft board so we can see more of our handsome faces. Matt, who do you have for us who wasn't drafted, who you think we should consider here?
I mean, first off, J.J. McCarthy probably is going in the second round, right around the same time Drake May. People had him as arguably the best quarterback prospect of this crew. I mean, there's people that had him above Caleb Williams, above Jaden Daniels. So, I mean, I feel that we kind of maybe disrespected him, me included, because I was Jalen McMillan, who I know I could get in the third round. I know I can get him at that. But for me, my guy right now is Tyrone Tracy there out of for the New York Giants. Dude absolutely balled out at Purdue. And I've been grabbing him everywhere in the third round. And opportunity is everything for me. And the only guy ahead of him is going to be Devin Singletary, who's another guy who's disrespected at every stop that he makes. So I'm not worried about Eric Gray. So this is Devin Singletary versus Tyrone Tracy. If you look, Tracy, he's raw when it comes to being a running back. This is a wide receiver converted to a running back. And if you look at his yards per route run, it's right up there with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, that's what kind of player you have in Tyrone Tracy. And we know that the New York Giants need playmakers, because outside of the love child of Garrett Wilson and DJ Moore there and Malik Nabers, Tracy's the only other guy who can make plays for this Giants team. So for me, Tyrone Tracy's a guy I love everywhere. I'll grab him early in the third round, all day, every day.
All right, Tyrone Tracy. Nate, who should we be thinking about?
Guys, Ray Davis. Buffalo hasn't had a running game in how long, right? This dude's a bruiser. And just because he went to a smaller school, everybody's writing him off. Running backs don't get top round draft capital anymore. It's just a fact of life. So when you're looking at running back, second, third, fourth round draft capital is as good as first, second, third for a wide receiver and other positions, in my opinion. And this situation for Ray Davis, what more do you want? James Cook isn't that type of runner, right? He's not a bowling ball. He's a stick figure that is really good at catching the ball, and he's slippery. Ray Davis adds an element they were looking for in Damian Harris last year and did not get out of him. So I'm excited. I've seen him going as early as second round in some drafts. So if you can get him in the third, take it.
I love Ray Davis. That's such great pick. Dave, who do you have for us?
Top guy on the board left for maybe Blake Corum. Gets third round draft capital, which, you know, we talked earlier about running backs. Like, that's really high for running back draft capital. Goes to a good offense with a creative play caller. He's very, very much like Kyren Williams, maybe a little, you know, better as far as, you know, combine numbers, athleticism. 27 touchdowns last year. And so they get a guy that can do a lot of the similar things that Kyren Williams does, and they don't have to, you know, put Kyren on the field all the time. He scored a lot of touchdowns. This team scored a lot of rushing touchdowns. And so just on rushing touchdown production alone, Blake Corum could be, he could be something this year. But if Kyren Williams went down, and he's got a contract coming up as well, and the Rams are not going to pay another running back. So yeah, give me Blake Corum as my top player available.
Love that pick. Johnny, you're up.
Well, this is getting a little watered down. I'd rather have those three guys who were said previously. Good picks, fellas. But for me, I'm going to go with another running back, and just based on opportunity in the situation. And that's Audric Estime in Denver. You know, I just don't know that Javonte Williams is, you know, we saw flashes in the pan. Is he really that guy? He came off the knee injury. You know, that now there's some new coaches in the building. This was not Sean Payton's guy to draft. So that kind of has me in question of, is he really going to be the preferred back here? And listen, I'm not banking on Estime to be, I'm not estimating that he's the starter. He doesn't have to be. If an injury happens, if poor performance happens, I understand they have other guys there too. P. Ryan. They still have who was that undrafted rookie they had, Jaleel McLaughlin. He was solid in spurts, but you know it could go south. But at the same time, I see a world where he's the number two running back right away. He has some touches, and whether Javonte is in the doghouse or out, does not perform, boom, Estime.
All right, we have Audric Estime. Jameson, who do you have for us?
I'm going to go deep in the weeds, especially for tight ends, where I'm just trying to throw some darts. I know they got Ben Sennett and Jatavion Sanders, but I'm going to go Eric All from went to Cincinnati, went to tight end university over at Iowa, produced guys like Sam Laporta, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, and also George Kittle. He's coming off a torn ACL, but I mean, anybody getting paired with Joe Burrow, especially in Dynasty round five, I just took him. I'm in desperate need of tight ends, and I just need somebody to hit. So I really like him. I think he's very good as a pass catcher. I know they just signed Mike Gesicki, but I don't think he's going to do a whole lot. And I think Eric All has an opportunity to be a big part of the Bengals offense down the road.
All right, Eric All. Joe, finish us up.
Yeah, I'm also going to go deeper in the weeds, but also have to mention your Malachi Corleys, like Jameson mentioned, Ben Sinnott, JT Sanders, Theo Johnson. There's a couple other guys who had top 125 capital who didn't go here, but we know about those. The deeper name I'm going to hit, though, is Jared Wiley from the Chiefs. Big play tight end threat as he was at TCU over the past couple of years. I think 6'6", 260-something with functional athleticism. He can really stretch the seam. He's not Travis Kelce, but if you're going to pick a mold for someone who could be an heir, Jared Wiley isn't a bad option there. He's super interesting. And again, like Jameson said with Eric All, you just want to take a shot on a big-time player there. And Wiley has the yak ability, great hands, decent route runner, and again, will show some willingness to block, which is massive for tight ends and running backs to keep them on the field. Just showing that willingness is huge. That's why someone like a Kyren Williams actually had a chance, because he was the best blocking back in the draft. So he got that role. That's why Jaylen Warren has had such a role for the Steelers, because he's a really good blocking back. And then the rest can grow from there. So Wiley showing that willingness and then also being, yes, converted QB. Thanks, Dave, for reminding me. Yeah, just a lot of athleticism there. Think he can really be a fourth, fifth round dart throw who can turn into something. Or if he doesn't, then it's a fourth or fifth round pick that you wasted, whatever.
All right. Well, we have some names that did surprise me that are left over. Nick's not going, McCarthy not going, but I guess in only two rounds in a one QB, I think the third round we would start seeing some of these coming off. Just to recap our honorable mentions, we had Tyrone Tracy to Matt. Nate took Ray Davis, my man. Dave took Blake Corum. Johnny estimated on Estime. Jameson took all of Eric. And Joe took Jared Wiley. Well, we're not just a bunch of pretty faces here at IDP Plus. We have an entire suite of tools and rankings for both offense and defense, plus rookie rankings, injury trackers, snap tools, premium articles, and more. So right now, get your first month for just $1 with the promo code MOCKDRAFT. Head over to idpguys.org after the show to get ahead of your lazy league mates and start your march towards fantasy football greatness today with the promo code MOCKDRAFT. The link and details are in the show description. Gentlemen, it is time for tags where we share any final thoughts we have and let everyone know where they can find us. Matt Donnelly, you are up first.
Hey, I think I made a point there a little bit earlier on my Twitter feed there somewhere along the lines, but that's the first place you can find me, at Matt Donnelly FF. Anything else, basically follow the links there, whether it's at Rotoball or Fantasy Points. Working on an article now. I'm hoping to drop in July. I mean, it's sitting there. Nate, I know you do a bunch of writing. You probably got a bunch of things sitting in the drafts. I've got this article that is like 99% done. It is sitting in my draft. It's been Grammarly checked. I've got like three different intro paragraphs that I've got off to the side if I want to interchange. And yet, I don't know if I even want to drop this article. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those pieces right there. It's like, do I want to drop it? Do I not want to drop it? So I got one of those that could be coming out here in July. Keep an eye on it. If it does pop, I hope it's going to be good, but hey, who knows?
Is it comparing football players to your favorite porn stars?
No. It's basically all my different mustaches there and what football players kind of work with that. Yeah.
That was my second choice. Dave.
You can find my work at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. At Dynasty Dorks on all the social medias. Check me out on TikTok. And if you're interacting with the Dynasty Trade Calculator Twitter handle, that's me. So, send us your trades and we'll calculate them for you.
All right, Dave. Thank you. Nate.
It's easiest to just find me on Twitter at Nate Paul Vogt. I have actually slowed down a little bit. I'm doing dynasty rankings right now for Razzball. I've got some stuff coming out here the next couple of weeks on fantasypros.com. If you're not familiar with them, they're one of the largest sites out there. Then I've got a new project coming. I can't say too much about it, but we're going to start teasing it next week. So kind of look out for some fun stuff coming from my account and some other ones I can't tell you about. And it's going to be fun times, though.
I love the tease. Johnny.
So if you're not following me on Twitter, go ahead and do so. At Johnny Freakin' F1. I'm part of the IDP Plus team. I do a weekly IDP Plus trends show with my co-host at @AverageJoes_fantasyfootball. Most of the time you'll see me on these podcasts with the IDP Plus team, but I do dabble in some waiver wire pickups in season two. That's where I do my writing. But all off season, I've been doing dropping videos on with the IDP Plus team. So follow all those guys and take the time to follow all these guys that were on this panel tonight, because I gave advice, but I also learned too. So thank you, gentlemen, for the insight as well.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. Jameson.
I'm over on the Twitter machine, as always, at Jameson Rules, just degenerate gambling. I asked 2 weeks ago if somebody would help me with my college homework. Got no inquiries, so I'm going to ask again. If anybody wants to help me pass college, just give me a call. But other than that, catch me every week here at Rider Dynasty with JJ and Joe. So that's about it.
All right, Joe.
You can find me on Twitter at JoeLo63, where I will be tweeting about rookies, 2025 rookies, other fantasy football and football things, Baltimore Orioles, who are still kicking butt, finally. So other various things. You can also find me again shortly, not in the near future, but again on the mailbag/waiver wire show later on. Currently, Justin Fry at JFryDP is holding that down by himself. And yeah, thank you everyone for being here. And thank you, JJ, for hosting.
My pleasure. I am at JJ Wenner on Twitter. Thank you, Matt, Nate, Dave, and Johnny for their help and expertise on this draft. Thank you to Joe and Jameson for all their hard work putting this show together. Special thank you to the whole crew at IDP Plus, Gary and Brittany, for helping produce the pod. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday to the All Out Blitz, where Doug and I will welcome Jay Stein to break down Dynasty startup strategies, and come back on Friday for the Rod Pod, where we will conduct a 4-round rookie combined draft, IDP and Dirty O. So from all of us, to all of you, be safe, be well, and as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.